listening to TV Madness with your host, Makisha Madden-Toby. The Walking Dead is one of TV's best dramas and now pulls in about 15 million viewers every week. Well, it did for the finale, the mid-season finale anyway. The second half of season 3 kicks off Sunday, February 10th. And in time for that, I thought I'd share the roundtable interview I did with along with a few other reporters with showrunner Glenn Mazzara and creator and executive producer Robert Kirkman. As you may have heard, Mazzara is leaving the show after season 3, a fact that angered a number of fans, including Mazzara's fellow showrunner types Kurt Sutter of Sons of Anarchy and Sean Ryan of The Shield. Another one of The Walking Dead's executive producers, Scott Gimple, will be replacing Mazzara in the fourth season. So Mazzara will finish out season 3. Mazzara, of course, replaced the zombies drama's original showrunner, Frank Darabont, midway through season 2. This interview is especially insightful because word on the interwebs is that Kirkman is the reason Mazzara got the boot. Yikes. Check it out.
There have been some kind of big deviations from the comic. Was there one deviation in particular that you were most kind of nervous or worried about fan reaction to that actually ended up getting a great response?
I'm usually game for pretty much anything. I mean, when we sit down to plot a season and, you know, things start getting thrown out and, you know, added and things like that, I'm usually, you know, pretty open to the changes. I don't think there has been any event so far that, you know, I've been kind of like, oh, well, people aren't going to really respond to this well. I mean, I'm usually kind of, you know, diving headfirst and really excited about the changes. I think that, you know, the subtle changes to the way Shane's story wrapped up with, you know, Rick being the one that handles that situation as opposed to Carl and things like that. I mean, there's definitely potential for fans to, you know, react negatively to that just because, you know, it was such an iconic beat in the comic book series, and it is, you know, kind of the memorable event that kicked off, you know, everything moving from that. It was very early on in the comic book series. I think that, but you know, looking at it, everything that was changed for the show was just so cool and added so much story potential for things moving after that. I knew that, you know, the audience would react to it the same way I did, where, you know, you look at it, you recognize it's different, but, you know, the differences excite you as opposed to diminishing the material in any way.
We were talking about how, like, the first 4 minutes of the first episode of season 3 were just amazing, and there was no dialogue. Can you talk about the importance of that and sort of how sometimes, like, a show of this the gravity of the show and the following can sometimes scale it back and just make it more simple? We were talking to Andrew and Sarah about it, and they said it was reminiscent in that way up to the pilot, where there were fewer words but a lot going on.
Well, you know, when we wrote that, we really wanted a show that we were back in this world, these were the same characters, but they had developed, you know, and now they were acting as a tight-knit group, that they were well coordinated, everybody had a specific task, and we saw the effects of Rick's leadership immediately. So within 4 minutes, you're caught up as to what's happened to that group. You know, her pregnancy's advanced, everybody has a clear role, and they're like a strike force taking over this house. And they don't have to speak. They can sort of, you know, pick up each other's cues, and they know what everything means. And you know, there was just a tremendous amount of catch-up that was being told in that single scene, you know. And it was just a lot of fun to write. And you know, I think the actors responded to it, and it was kind of a challenge, and it was a surprise, and it was different. But it made sense in this world. You know, you don't really want to draw a lot of attention to yourself. You don't want to have loud guns. You don't want to, you know, be shouting at each other. And they've, you know, that, you know, quick little teaser explains how they survived throughout the winter.
Yeah.
One thing we were talking about after Gale and Greg left is, can the show survive if everybody from the original cast was at some point killed off, or do we need a Rick or an original cast?
What did Gail and Greg say?
No, we were talking about
Adam. Oh, well,
we saved it for you.
I'd be interested.
Well, we haven't thought about it until then. And so.
What do you think? That's a good question.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly do think that the show could survive. I think that, you know, telling stories in this world is, you know, an interesting prospect. I think that, you know, to a certain extent, this is Rick's story, and so I think that, you know, something really, you know, drastic would have to happen for it to suddenly shift gears, and that might be, you know, somewhat jarring, but You know, I've always said that, you know, this is a very dangerous world that we're telling stories in, and if characters weren't dropping like flies and dying left and right, we just wouldn't be telling a realistic story. And so, in an effort to keep things realistic, we are, you know, going to be burning through cast, you know, like we have been in the first two seasons. So, you know, it is an evolving show, and I really like the fact that, you know, the cast is cycling. When I see these big marketing images before every season, and it's like, here's the cast, you know, and then like the next year, it's like, here's the cast. It's always pretty different. I just think that's cool. I think it's, you know, it's showing like, you know, that you're getting something new this season.
That's such a, I was looking for an image for season three, and there was this picture of like, I'm up, Shane, up, I gotta get.
Yeah.
So I just went with a picture of Rick running, because it's just like, we know he's on season three.
Yeah. If I could just say to that, that, you know, I think, you know, one of the things we take seriously is the issue of life and death in this season, you know, and what does that mean for the survivors, you know? So I do think that the show could, you know, suffer any death and still continue, you know. I would never want to, you know, have everybody wiped out and just come back and brand new cast completely. You know, that's a little, you know, crazy. We would never do that.
No Saved by the Bell.
Yeah, exactly. It's not. But you show how people, you know, survive each other's death and what it means and what that loss is. That, you know, this is a show that's very much dealing with that.
Can you talk, and not to give anything away, but in general terms about kind of themes the third we can expect in the third season?
Well, I think one of the themes that we definitely examined is that nobody can survive alone in this world, you know, and so people have bonds, and sometimes those bonds are broken, and then, you know, that person goes spinning off, and then they connect with someone else, and so that's something that, it was something that we came up with, you know, pretty early. And as we're, you know, about to write the last few episodes, that has remained true. That, you know, in a way, these bonds get broken and reformed, and people are partnered with new people throughout the entire life of the season. You know, the other main theme that we had is that there's a, you know, that this is a complicated sort of historical novel of the meeting of these two groups. You know, a novel to be written sometime in the future, but, you know, in the aftermath of the apocalypse, when everybody sort of starts coming out of the ashes, people start finding each other, you know, these two groups are in conflict, and that will lead to events that we believe will take us throughout the you know, the remaining seasons of the show.
Can you talk a little bit about Michonne as a character too, because the thing that with her that I find so cool is, you know, she's so badass and mysterious, and you don't know, you know, she comes in wielding this sword, cutting off heads, but you don't know where she's come from or what her motives are.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the thought process on how much you give, how much that takes away the mystery of her, how much of her backstory you share with people, or do you keep her more mysterious?
Go ahead.
You take it
first. I'm not gonna take it. Come on, you guys, don't
be so
polite. Whatever you want.
All right, that's enough.
Don't hog the mic. She's definitely a big mystery. I mean, we introduce her in a very mysterious way at the end of the second season, and, you know, not a lot is known about her. You know, she's a cool character that I think, you know, is a bit of a fan favorite in the comic book world, and we're very excited about her, you know, appearing in this season. And I think that we've done some really interesting things with her, and kind of brought her into the show in a very interesting and different way, as opposed to how she was brought in the comic. And, you know, I think that, you know, it's pretty clear that, you know, she's going to be with Andrea quite a bit. And, you know, having these two characters playing off each other, I think, is really going to inform us quite a bit as to who they are and, you know, what their motivations are and stuff. So I think, you know, we'll learn more about her as we move forward.
Yeah, but she you know, Michonne's a tricky character. You know, she doesn't give up a lot of information. You know, she's actually probably says a lot less than anybody else, you know, as far as the amount of dialogue, you know. And so she's a person, she keeps to herself. She doesn't really like people. She hates zombies. So she's a tricky character. So it'll be interesting that as she reveals things about her character, as the audience learns about her, that's something that'll sort of be teased out throughout, you know, the life of that character.
We were talking about fan favorites, and there's Michonne, or think characters people were looking forward to coming back or being introduced. There's Michonne, there's the governor, there's Merle, who people, and they showed at Comic-Con, they showed the actor Michael's face, it was crazy, and there's Daryl, and Daryl is not in the book, so we were talking about how like his reactions are so great, and it's just his character is so fascinating to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about the importance of his character and sort of how you play that out, considering he's not in the book? Is it more fun that way?
Well, listen, we all love writing for Daryl. I mean, he's just a lot of fun. He's actually, you know, a great zombie killer, you know, so there's a lot of action. But he's also, you know, one sense he's coming to his own in this world. You know, he's perfectly adapted for this environment, you know, so that's great. You know, he doesn't take any trash from anybody, you know, and so he has a sense of humor. You know, he's just a lot of fun to write. You can just kind of put him in any scene and, you know, and he works. And you know, Norman Reedus is just a real, real, you know, great guy to work with. And he just adds so much and he loves the show. And you know, so, you know, it's just, you know, it's fun. But he there's really no scene that you could write for The Walking Dead where it doesn't work if you add Daryl. You know what I mean? I mean, he's just so much a part of the environment, so much a part of the world. You know, he's a lot of fun to write for.
The second episode where the prisoners and the, you know, they die, the ones that die, die, and the ones that live, live, and he goes, sorry. I was like, thank you, because he's not Rick. You know what I mean? Like, Rick's like, that's the deal. This is your cell. Like, get out of my face sort of thing. And then Daryl's like, sorry. You
know? Yeah, exactly.
You're going to be okay? Okay, bye. See you in the kitchen sometime.
Well,
you
know, he says, sorry, you know, sorry about your
Friends. About your friends.
Sorry about
that's
your friends.
That's such a human reaction. I mean, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
I love that about Daryl.
Yeah, so he's, you know, but he's also
but he
badass.
Can say that, but if
he's
Rick also said it would be weird.
Right, yeah.
Rick's not going to say sorry about your friends.
No, but Daryl gets it, you know, because I think Daryl sees himself as he could have been there. He could have been a guy who, you know, was on the wrong side of the law, was locked up, and happened to be in prison at
and
that
didn't
time.
Know what was going on.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, you know, look at in episode one, he refuses to sleep in a cell.
Yeah.
You know, he's just like, I'm not doing
this.
You know, it's a little too close to home. So he's an interesting character. You know,
from the big blocks of silence to the killing off major characters, you guys are basically one of the few shows on TV that's reinventing television to me.
Well,
is that
you.
Something that's just naturally came out of the process? Was it sort of a mantra from the beginning of, if this is something that would conventionally be seen on TV, we're not doing it?
That's always been my approach to TV. You know, that's something that we tried to do on The Shield, you know, which was a tough show to watch because of the number of cop shows that have been done in the past. And we were, you know, with Sean Ryan and Kurt Sutter, we were very conscious of, you know, giving the audience a reason to come over to something new, a new type of cop show on a new cable station, right? So that's something that I've just learned and had fun. And then when we started writing this material together, you know, we do have new material. You know, a zombie show's never been done on.
Right.
So that's, you know, but we try to push what's been done in zombie movies. We're not just taking, you know, things from the comic book or zombie films and then just dramatizing it. We really do push ourselves. And I think it's something that, you know, the writers have all bought into, the producers, that we want the show to be out there. We want the show to be fresh. We want it to be an original experience for the audience. So that's you know, by design. That's something that we're going for. But I also think the material needs it. I think because, you know, the comic book is so exciting,
right.
You know, is so interesting. In a way, we kind of have to reinvent the TV format to tell, to do justice to Robert's work.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
So then we have to wrap this one up.
Okay.
Thank you, guys.
Great. Thank you.
All right.
We can't wait to see more episodes.
Thanks.
Crazy, right? I'm listening to it now. I'm like, oh, maybe they weren't really best friends. I don't know. Who knows if Robert Kirkman got rid of Glenn Mazar? We'll never know, really, probably. But it'll be sad to see him leave after season three. But I still will be watching. The Walking Dead returns Sunday, February 10th at 9 p.m. So make sure you check it out if you are a crazy rabbit fan like me. So now this is the thank you part of the show, and I have to thank Theo, who really cleaned up the audio, and he always does a great job, and I have to just thank him. Thank you, Theo. You rock. NPR West, our sponsor, Record Surplus in Santa Monica. The last record store, visit recordsurplusla.com. And production assistant, Adam Janis. Thanks for listening.